So what is the significance of Pentecost? What do we make of this day where at 50 days after Easter, Jesus has ascended already, and the Spirit comes down upon the disciples, which from my research is actually like 120 apostles, 120 disciples, followers of Christ, receive the Spirit on this day. And the Spirit comes down, and it looks like tongues of flame, and there's mighty rushing winds, and all of a sudden these people are speaking in different languages that are represented by all the people that are in Jerusalem for this festival. What do we make of this day? Why the Spirit? And in thinking about this and drawing upon our good friend Martin Luther and the Small Catechism and the Large Catechism, it reminds me of the story of baby Jessica, which I think many of you are probably very familiar with. On October 14th, 1987, just about when the Twins were winning the World Series, Dwayne, you remember that? Yeah. 18-month-old Jessica fell through an 8-inch-wide opening of an abandoned well while playing with other children in the backyard of her aunt's home daycare center. She was trapped there for 58 hours. A little 18-month-old trapped for 58 hours in this abandoned water well in the middle of Texas. She dropped about 22 feet into this well before she became stuck. And over the next 2.5 days, crews of rescue workers, mining experts, and local volunteers labored around the clock trying to rescue baby Jessica. They drilled a shaft parallel to the one she fell in, and when they got kind of below where she was, they drilled across horizontally to the shaft and connected them. They had a microphone lowered in there so they could hear Jessica. She at times was crying, at times was mumbling, at times even singing. You probably remember this because it was one of the first events that was captured on film. It was viral before social media even existed. And on the night of October 16th, a bandaged and dirt-covered little baby Jessica was safely pulled out of the well by paramedics. She was in no way capable of rescuing herself. There was no way she would have got out of there without the help of someone else. In this case, many someone else's. This is how Scripture describes you and I. That we are helpless on our own. And when it comes to salvation, it's like we're trapped down a well. We are stuck. And there's no hope for us to get out. And so on this day of Pentecost, as we reflect upon the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for us, we're going to look for a moment at the Small Catechism and at the Large Catechism, which I know you all have memorized, and look at the third article to the Apostles' Creed and what Luther says on that. So we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Here's what Luther tells us about this, and this is exactly the situation that Jessica McClure found herself in. Luther says, what does this mean to say I believe in the Holy Spirit? He says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him. And in the Large Catechism, he says this, neither you or I could ever know anything about Christ or believe in Him or have Him for our Lord unless it was offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Why is Pentecost important? Because on this day, the Spirit of God came down and he unleashed the word of Christ upon this world. Unleashed it. The work of Christ, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, how he has gone into heaven to prepare a place for you, and how he has prepared you for that place in heaven, it's like it's a treasure. And it's buried away. We cannot find it, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, brings it to us, gifts us with this very thing. The Holy Spirit unveils the word of Jesus to you, that you might understand, that you might have it. Luther goes on to say that the Holy Spirit has called you, enlightened you, sanctified you, has brought this treasure to you, and made it so that you can believe in what this gift is. This is Pentecost. The Lord has made your heart ready to receive this very word, and then the Lord brings it to you through the unveiling of his gospel preached in the word, not just from a silly preacher like myself, but from friends and neighbors who know the word and know their Lord and share it with you. You have this. There's a funny scene that happens on Pentecost, and it's kind of confusing. When the Spirit comes and the Spirit pours out its power upon the disciples, and they start speaking in all these different languages, and I counted it up, it looks like it could be as many as 15 different languages these Galileans are able to speak. And so you know these Galileans are kind of the country bumpkins of the Middle Eastern area. They're not ones that should know other languages. Yet the Spirit gives them the ability to speak in all these different languages, which Janice so wonderfully pronounced, all those different things. Reading on the day of Pentecost is the hardest Sunday to read. But even in this, there are those that continue to reject this word of Christ. There are those who apparently the Spirit has not given ability to hear this word about Jesus. And it's funny how they even are starting to make excuses. If you came across somebody who you know does not speak Spanish or Latin or Greek or any kind of language, or German in many cases here, you know for a fact that I do not speak German. Yet, on a particular Sunday, I come in and I'm preaching the most eloquent sermon ever, and it's in perfect high German, and many of you can recognize it. Would you look at him and say, "Well, Pastor, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. You're not supposed to be drunk." When has drunkenness ever taught you how to speak another language? Never. Yet this is the excuse that many of the people in the hearing of the disciples use. They're hearing perfect proclamation of the gospel in their own language. And so what do they think? Well, these guys are drunk. Apparently, drunkenness gives them the ability to speak other languages. Even on this day, there are those who the Spirit does not uncloud the mind, unblock it, give them the ability to receive the word of Christ. There are those that still reject it. But you are sitting here and are hearing this word because the Spirit has come to you, has unveiled his word to you, has shown you and caused you to understand what this this cross up here on the wall symbolizes. That there is a man named Jesus Christ who is eternal from heaven and came down and suffered and died and was raised for you. The Spirit has unveiled this word to you that you might know that this means that you are forgiven of your sin. That this Lord Jesus Christ has, in fact, gone into heaven to prepare a place for you, even as he prepares you for that place. You know this because the Holy Spirit has worked in you to receive the word of Christ. And what is this word? We hear it in our passage from Acts as Peter quotes from the prophet Joel, that all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we come each Sunday morning calling on the name of the Lord, falling upon his forgiveness, upon the gifts he has for us. Peter isn't the only one to quote from the prophet Joel. Paul in the book of Romans also quotes from the prophet, and I think his quote is a great way to end our sermon here. Peter quotes this last verse in Acts, and he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Then he asks some questions. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." There is a world out there full of people whom the Holy Spirit is waiting to come upon, waiting to grant them life through this revealed word of Christ. But first, you and I need to leave these doors and bring that word to them. We need to bring these gifts that we have and bless our neighbors, so that the Holy Spirit can work through his word, which never returns empty. You have beautiful feet, all of you, because they can carry the good news. Let us pray. Gracious and mighty God, we thank you for your Spirit, which has revealed the life-saving word of Christ to us. And we pray by your Spirit that you would continue to bless us with faith, we might believe and continue to receive your gifts. And by your Spirit, O Lord, we ask that you would give us power as we leave these doors to proclaim your word, to have Jesus on our lips at all times, that others might know and believe the work of Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen.